Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and the new medicine, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review, evidence-based magazine, and UK Health Radio, Mount Everest Conqueror, a sponsor guru with quite a combination, doubleheader, Sean Swarner. He's that mountaineer, conqueror of Mount Everest and others, multiple Ironman marathoner. He's a global keynote speaker and author. He'll be joining me, along with returning Linda Hollander. She's the sponsor expert and the founder of Sponsor Concierge. Then the Sports Doctor's in, upcoming guests, little Dr. Bob Wisdom. Sean, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi, man.
I understand you're the eighth most admired man in the world. Is that true?
You know, I'm pretty sure when they put that list together, my mom was on the review board.
That's what I understood. That's what I wanted to ask you about, because she sent me a text and said for sure to have a good time with that whole idea. You know, on the Sports Doctor, we have the best athletes in the world. We have their coaches. We have their parents. We have all sorts of trainers, both mentally and physically. And when we hear a combination of what you're talking about, let alone medically, give us some background on yourself and then becoming so involved in the world of mountain climbing and marathoning. It's quite a combination.
I appreciate that. And kind of tongue-in-cheek and joking, maybe, you know, my mom being on the review board. Whatever anyone does in life, you know, it takes a team. You know, for example, I've been up Kilimanjaro 27 times, heading back up in July. It would be my 28th trip. You know, we do things differently, but we also have double the mountain's success rate because we have an amazing team. And I learned that going through two different cancers. You know, I had the doctors there, I had the nurses there, I had my family there, the support system. I was given 3 months to live at 13. I was given 14 days to live at 16, 17 years old. I was put in a medically induced coma for a year. I was read my last rites. I lost the function of my right lung, and then, bum bum, 10 years later, I decided to climb Mount Everest with one lung and be the first cancer survivor to make it to the top of the world.
Unbelievable story. Again, both physically and mentally. You know, here's my pearls from the Sports Doctor to you, by the way, in the future, whatever you do. And number one, strengthen those feet and ankles. And number two, work balance. Right. When you're climbing mountains and or running, of course, so when you think of that type of medical history, Sean, and what it took not only to survive it and get through it and to then be able to use it as such an incredible weapon achieve something unbelievable. How many years is that? How old are you now?
51 years old, so it's been quite a while, but I've also climbed the highest mountain on every continent, skied to the North Pole, South Pole, finished the World Championship Ironman Triathlon in Hawaii, and I also ran recently 7 marathons on all 7 continents in just 7 days.
Incredible. Did you have your orthotics in, Sean?
I did not, but the funny thing is that when you mentioned strengthening your feet and ankles, when I'm training in Colorado, you know, we have a number of 14ers there, 14,000-foot peaks. In the summertime, when I'm training for a big mountain, I will go up in flip-flop. And people look at me, and I'm carrying, you know, 50 pounds of rocks in my backpack, and people look at me like I'm crazy. And they're going up in these hiking boots and everything else, and they ask me why I'm doing that, and it's exactly to do what you mentioned, strengthening my feet and ankles, but
right,
also being very mindful. And this goes back, great metaphor for life, being very mindful on where I'm placing my next step.
That's an interesting point. That's a great great title of a new book, Where You're Taking Your Next Step, when we're talking about, again, from one regard to the other, including the kind of strength training many times, you know, to run marathons, let alone, you know, 7 days in a row, again, it's one out of a million, is a whole different athletic capability. I got to get you to check out the Sand Dune Stepper. It's a piece of equipment that simulates being on the beach. And the reason you were in flip-flops is you wanted to strengthen those toes and the gripping and everything that goes into that. Even though I would say to you, well, let's put you in something a little better than that when you're training. You know what I mean? Involving those scenarios. Because the idea, again, of course, is to prevent problems. But that's quite a combination of events. Well, how old were you when you climbed your first mountain?
The first big mountain was actually Everest, and I was 27,
wow.
28 years old when I did that. And it was literally, I was 9 months before climbing Everest. I was living in the very mountainous state of Florida. So before I moved out to Colorado.
Everest, I was watching a special, and now Mount Everest, you know, became such a lineup with people and whatever. It's unbelievable with the traffic and whatever. It's gotten so crazy in some different ways is remarkable. And what type of training are you doing in your life to allow you to, are you still running?
I am. I just ran yesterday, just got done doing a workout like 20 minutes ago too.
Right. How many miles a week are you running?
A great question. Since I'm not training for the 777 or that crazy global marathon race thing, it's not nearly as much as it used to be. And I'm actually kind of alternating between lifting on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and running Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So it's not every day.
Excellent idea. One of the biggest tough sells, even at the highest level of physical performance, as you know, I call it the mental game, whether I have psychologists or mental trainers, or 2.5 months ago from the Netherlands, I had on a Taoist master talking about 2,500-year-old lifestyle and performance thinking that was as relevant today as it was then. So the mental game's a big deal on the sports doctor, and so absolutely is, again, that whole physical side. And rest and recovery, again, is a very, very big deal. I'm sure that's a big part of your repertoire.
Yeah, absolutely. I get a minimum of 8 hours of sleep every night. And what's interesting is when we were doing the 777, we started off in Antarctica, flew to Cape Town, and
now,
I think we landed
again,
about...
What's the 777?
Oh, it is seven marathons on all seven continents in 7 days.
Right. I think I had somebody on before. I got to remember who it is to connect you to. But go ahead, tell us that. What amazing.
Yeah, so, well, we landed in Cape Town to run the second marathon about 3 a.m, and then, you know, 5 hours later, we were running the second marathon, and then we hopped on another plane and flew up 16 hours to Perth and then ran a marathon there. And then I don't even remember refueling in Dubai and then going to the sixth marathon from Istanbul to Cape Town and then Cape Town into Miami. At that point, because I was so sleep deprived, I was dehydrated and there's no way you can keep up with the nutrition. We landed in Miami. I was so tired. I don't remember the customs and immigrations. I don't remember collecting my bag. I don't remember the Uber ride to the airport or from the airport to the hotel.
Really?
I don't remember seeing my wife at the hotel.
How are the teams of doctors that have probably worked with you and watched you and checked you, that you were between the one lung and the cancer survivor? How big a fan are all these doctors with you and what you're doing, both physically and mentally? I'm sure they've been... very, very helpful.
You know what? Initially, they weren't. Initially, they thought, like everybody else, you know, you're crazy. What are you doing? You can't do that. That's physiologically impossible. And then I decided a long time ago that I wasn't going to allow someone else's perspective and limitations to become my reality. And that's where the shift happened. So now everybody, especially the doctors, like, go for it. I mean, I had a medium meniscus tear, and then... What's that?
I said they've become very big fans because, again, what you're doing is one out of a million. And regardless of the, you know, we have a contest a few times a year, many times we talk about what sports require the best athletes. You get all sorts of different answers from water polo to skiing to NBA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the sport of climbing has become, again, something that is, when you really, really think about it and you see some of these different situations, you know, again, both on the mental and the physical side. Where do people go to find out about you and what you're up to? I know you're writing a book, right? Well, how do people, do you have a website people could check with what you're doing, Sean?
I do. It's SeanSwarner.com. Sean spelled the proper way, S-E-A-N, and then the Warner Brothers with an F slapped on the front. So SeanSwarner.com.
Right. Everybody's a comedian. You know, it's amazing. When we try to get them rolling, quick shout out to our friends at That One, all these super podcasters, exciting group of individuals from so many different areas. You know, it's funny. I've been on live radio, Sean. I think I'm pushing 40-something years, and no one knew how to spell the word podcast. Are you kidding me? Even 10 years ago. So it's incredible to see what's gone on in the world of education. And the idea of, again, tell us about some of your topics that you really pay big attention to when you're either writing about or you're keynote speaking.
Well, as you mentioned, I have a new book called The True Summit Method, How Leaders Can Turn Pressure into Peak Performance. And you're right, it goes back to mindset, it goes back to perspective, because, you know, my story may be inspirational, and a lot of people say, oh, it's very inspiring, but I aim to show people how resilience is built in real time, not in hindsight, like I had to learn it, you know, going through the two cancers, so I can teach people how to do that right here, right now.
Yes, well, it becomes a situation, and we see it, because no matter what experts I try, I've been talking about childhood obesity, Sean, for 30 years, give or take a few weeks. We're very, very involved in the world of type 2 diabetes, juvenile diabetes, and getting the point out about podiatry has always been in the middle of wound care, et cetera, getting the word out about the new medicine, which is to include to the importance of exercise and deal with this obesity. We're not really making any kind of progress, both adults and both on kids. And I find that amazing. There's so much good information. And still, when I ask the experts like you, how are we doing? They roll their eyes. Are you rolling your eyes?
I'm not, because I think a lot of people look at resilience as a personality trait when it's actually a discipline.
Yes. Are you working with any athletes, Sean?
I am not. I have enough. My hands are full with me.
Right. I see. And what are the type of groups that you're speaking to in the world of business?
You know, usually they bring me in as an opening keynote speaker to get to kind of start it off on the right foot, but anywhere from the financial industry to the pharmaceutical industry.
That's the pun. That's the key, which is you got to start it off on the right foot. And
exactly.
Again, we talk so much about the fact that all parts of the body are affected by foot mechanics. You've got to have great foot mechanics to do what you're doing, whether it happens to be, again, anybody who's doing the kind of training to even do a marathon, even dream about it, let alone the next to impossible feat of doing 7 in 7 days on 7 continents, I can't think what they could have added to make it tougher, you know, for you on top of that. Your nutrition must be a big deal, you know, as well as that mixture, because, again, that's the big idea of rest and recovery. I'm sure you're paying big attention. Like you said, the importance of sleep, the importance of supplements. This is the big deal now with the biohacking, which, of course, has been around as lifestyle medicine, functional medicine, talking about some of the reasons for what's going on and prevention, and whether it's in high performance or in grandmas. And I think you're in the middle of all of that, aren't you?
I am. I definitely pay attention to what I eat. No garbage goes in my mouth, because if garbage comes in, garbage comes out. You know, it just doesn't factor into my diet. And a lot of people see other folks doing certain things, you know, eating this, drinking that. Yeah. You have to figure out what works for you. And there are a lot of inspirational stories out there. The stories,
there's a factor that, you know, the type 2 adult onset diabetes had to change their name a decade or two ago, because there was an explosion of children being seen, again, dealing with pre-diabetes and with diabetes and the scourge that we're dealing with. And we really want to get that word out to the necessity of including routinely, not if you're on the team, routinely for kids that might be your children's ages or those ages when we're talking adolescence, let alone the challenge of the social media. When I ask people who are dealing with your field all the time, I always ask you, Sean, how your sports psychology skills are.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people think they're eating healthy, and one of the things that I've done is really dial it in, because if you look at certain breads and you compare those to a Snickers, the bread's actually going to spike your glycemic index higher than a Snickers bar.
That's amazing, the education. I've been dealing with a new group that's called sports pharmacists, and the whole world of supplements and hormones and et cetera, that's why I think the biohacking is a great idea, because we're seeing neuroscience, all sorts of attention to anti-aging, longevity. I'm a super senior almost. And so the idea, 80 is the new 60 and 50 is the new, or 50 is the new 70, with people trying to get active. Give us again, Sean, I knew the time would fly with you. Give us again the website that people find out about your upcoming book and your speaking.
Absolutely. SeanSwarner.com.
Sean, S-E-A-N, Schwarner, S-W-A-R-N-E-R.com. Thanks so much, Sean, for joining us. Hold on, please. We'll be right back, everybody. The Sports Doctor. Hold on, Sean. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And we've got returning Linda Hollander. She is the sponsor expert and the founder of Sponsor Concierge in the wild world of ads. Linda, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hello from California.
All right. Linda, give us some background on you and the world of sponsors. growing into a sponsor concierge. It's got to be a wild, crazy, fun area.
Okay.
Especially
well, what...
if you're selling insurance, everybody's a comedian.
Okay. Well, what Dr. Bob tells you is to go for your dreams, and we're all taught to have these big dreams and go for our dreams, but when you get into it, your dreams are going to cost money and resources and capital, and that's what sponsors give you. Sponsors give you money you don't have to pay back.
It's a big area.
Absolutely.
It's a big area in so many, with the wild world of podcasts now, a whole new, you know, I'm still doing live radio, man, so I could be in shorts and a t-shirt while we're talking to you in the world of videos and whatever. So the sponsorship world is, oh, I have always found, and I'm very picky, but I have always found it to be a challenge when it really comes to making it really happen. For example, if I'm talking about the radio show, The Sports Doctor, or we're talking about a Super Bowl ad, or we're talking about these wild, here we have the biggest superstars in all sports doing ads in so many different ways, it's got to be, and I have had many of those people on. The Sports Doctor, talking about things like, you know, Dr. Bob, in 5 years, 80% of professional athletes are broke. And I said, what? And so we were talking about all those kinds of challenges that go into. So talk a little bit about what it's been like to be involved, again, in the sponsorship world and how it's become so interesting, challenging, and such a successful area from your point of view.
Well, I do agree that it is challenging, but it is also very rewarding. And it's not as challenging if you show up correctly. So you have to show up as a professional. You have to lead with your sponsor benefits. And even though the landscape is more crowded now than when I started over 20 years ago, people are still getting sponsorships. And it's changed a lot because, as you said, they're getting sponsorships for podcasts and shows and influencer work that they do, and at one time it was.
I remember that advice. Yeah. I remember that advice of yours. That's why when I was at, for instance, say Global School, where we're talking about school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, we're talking about the advantages of what that might bring to the table. I always felt that that was a great, interesting point from A to Z. You know, whatever the ad was, and to watch the way some of these ads have grown in so many different ways, the sophistication. Again, the business side of it and the idea of it being so multifaceted, you know, from, again, representing a superstar or in the world of sports or in the world of business or entertainment, I would imagine you flirted with all three.
I've actually worked with all three. Of course, sports is one of the most visible places where you see a lot of sponsorships. And in a few weeks, we'll see the Super Bowl, where you'll see them on the halftime show and on the uniforms
isn't
and everywhere.
Isn't that amazing? You know, again, in the world of what you do, isn't it amazing that as big as the game of the Super Bowl over all these years, and I'm a Joe Willie Namath fan, man, from the Long Island, and as big as the game over all of these years has always been the halftime commercial and the commercials that went into the Super Bowl, you know, for millions of dollars. So that's got to be a Wild West, I would imagine.
Yeah, and those
were
sold out.
The new world of podcasts.
The commercials for the Super Bowl were sold out probably 6 to 9 months in advance because it's a one-of-a-kind platform, as you say.
Yes, and again, and the idea again of the world of podcasting, where you didn't have a podcast, my show, of course, becomes at all the replay, The Sports Doctor, a podcast. And again, I think back 10 years, even when I think you and I first crossed paths, got to be, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago, when you've been on the show talking about, I thought I made a great one sheet, Linda. I really did. In the past, for what you were talking about. Because of the streaming and all of these and YouTube and all of these things that have become gigantic and the incredible importance of having, an education for business involving the world of sponsorship.
Yeah, well, I want to comment a little bit on what you're saying because, you know, a lot of people hear us talk about these big sports and entertainment properties.
Yes.
And they say, oh, well, I don't have that kind of budget and all that stuff, because we've helped, you know, a single mom working in like a postage size spot in her kid's bedroom get sponsors. So you don't have to be big. You don't have to have a big following because sponsors are not going for, you know, the big follower audience.
That's great that you include. I think that's very important. It's great that you include that. It's about values. It's about standing for things. You know, I've always said on the Sports Doctor, and again, I'm pushing over 40 years live radio, give or take a few weeks. I always said, number one, I wanted awareness about who I was talking to and what I was talking about. Number two, I wanted education. Again, in the same area. Number three, we wanted some sort of action involving, you know, making a difference. And that's why it's so important to include, you know, individuals who might be, again, like you said, a stay-at-home mom was doing A, B, C, D, and E. And again, that's such a big point that you would have, again, small businesses in all sorts of different areas. What are some examples of some of the areas again?
Okay, well, there's, of course, businesses can get sponsored. Events can get sponsored. So if you want to do your own event like I do, you could get sponsored. If you're a speaker and you speak on other people's platforms, you could get sponsors. A lot of people, their big dream is to write a book, but the cost keeps them away from it. But your book can be sponsored. So that's something. And then, of course, if you want to be an influencer, that could
really
be sponsored.
Why don't I have a – I should have a big-time sponsor for hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Hey, you know, by the way, we got to add in the future, I got to add the grandparents to the situation, because there's as many wild and crazy sports grandparents and sports parents. It's always been such an incredibly big area, the world of youth sports and all of these type of challenges that go into today. I would imagine the social media has been such a major influence in all sorts of different areas. What are some of your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. It's major because now everybody is expected to have some sort of social media following. And like I said, it doesn't have to be big, because sponsors at one time just went for the people who had a million followers or more. And now there's a deprioritization of that. They want small and mighty influencers, because even if you have
That's good news.
A small following, you're going to engage more with them, and that's what sponsors are looking for. So whatever flavor you choose, if it's Instagram or Facebook, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. It just matters that you have one.
Field. What's the best site people could find out about sponsor concierge?
Just go to sponsorconcierge.com. At sponsorconcierge.com, you'll get all kinds of information about the current trends in sponsorship, how to be successful in sponsorship, and how to get the most money.
You know, it's interesting with the wild west of the internet, social media, not only the challenges mentally in our youngsters and teenagers, that's not news to anybody, or to the kinds of challenges that are involved in, for example, with paying so much attention to juvenile type 2 diabetes and the importance of exercise routinely. I've been talking about I call it the new medicine. You know, Linda, we were talking about, number one, eat smarter, and you could talk 12 shows about eating smarter, right?
Absolutely.
And number two, keep moving. Whatever it is, there's a million choices. Keep moving. You know, number three is, you know, to reduce stress. How do you find the, again, like you mentioned, Instagram, and there's all these different websites and whatever. And so navigating that area, I would imagine, has become a big topic for you.
It's become a big topic, but here's what you want to do with your social media. You mentioned the baby boomer market, and the baby boomer market is crazy right now. That's what a lot of sponsors
want. I pay big attention to the senior. Rick Bava and the Senior Magazine, big time. We've had dozens of guests in that world, and I guess because I'm one of them. Move your head.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, if you, and a lot, that's where the disposable income is in the baby boomer market. So if you want that market, go on Facebook. If your clients or customers are very young, you go on TikTok or you go on another platform. But the best social media platform is where your audience is.
How have you seen also, Linda, the incredibly explosive new world in so many areas of artificial intelligence or AI mixing into, you know, when you're talking about maybe we're going to watch a commercial, you don't know if the person's real or whatever, the whole, I would imagine you have to be up to TikTok with a, pardon the pun, with the inclusion of AI stuff.
Yeah, and people are wondering, like, hey, is AI going to be my friend? Are they going to be my foe? Because
good
there's
question.
The AI threat of taking business away. But I would treat it as a friend because you could use AI to get your sponsors.
I
you
agree.
Could automate your reach
that's our only,
and all that.
Yeah, that's our only. We gotta love them to death in AI so
yeah.
that it don't take over like in 2001 with what was the name of that computer?
Mid 2001.
Yes. Who's the computer? Talking
I don't know.
Guys. Well, I'll have to catch it next time when
okay.
we go on that scenario. So now sometimes, again, I would imagine you're talking print ads. Is print ads still included in this world? It is.
We still do print because a lot of sponsors are traditional. So sponsors want to know that you're on the digital platforms and traditional media, which includes print and broadcast, like what you do. So if I never turn down media. If a print publication comes to me and says, hey, we want to do an article, bam, I'm there. If a radio show like yours comes to me, I say, welcome, welcome. So never turn down any media.
And you also, you pay attention to holidays. So, for example, or special occasions, there's an endless array. Isn't every day a something day? But even the idea of whether it's the holidays or whether it's other times of celebration or one way or another can be people paying attention to sponsorship is something they should be looking at regarding the holiday, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, I do an article
wasn't
every
that
year.
Wasn't that your last email to me? I thought it was. It was the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I do the Super Bowl every year because I watch
right.
the Super Bowl and I have a notepad and a paper in front of me. I don't watch it with guacamole and beer like a lot of people do because I have to take notes to write my article. So that's called seasonal content. So you
yes.
want
when do you find out? When do you find out or do you know already what commercials are going to be part of the Super Bowl? Your world,
you
find out?
You can look it up on the search engine or ChatGPT what commercials are going to be there. You could see them in advance. It's pretty easy to find the commercials.
And what do you find as far as, I would imagine, again, the business world, I would think the park district world, I would think the organization world, health and wellness is such a big topic. And again, the idea of the new medicine, you can't watch television for 2 minutes without a drug commercial. You know, the United States, Linda, is one of only two countries in the world that allows TV advertising of prescription drugs. New Zealand's the other one. And if it's not a drug commercial, it's a diet commercial. So this explosion of biohacking and anti-aging and longevity medicine and functional medicine is a big deal. We pay big attention to it as people sometimes are saying, you know, I got to do something differently here involving either the world of obesity on the left or this, again, this scourge of childhood diabetes and the necessity, again, of adding some education. So the idea of that there's still room for important themes in so many different directions makes attention important. I want to talk to you again a little bit more in the next segment about those similar topics. Linda Hollander, Sponsor Concierge. We'll be right back. Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we're back with the Sports Doctor with our last 2 minutes, 5 minutes or so with Linda Hollander, the sponsor concierge. We were talking about everything from the Super Bowl to very, very small business people who might be taking big advantage of the whole world of sponsorship and advertising, and how you got your notepad ready for the Super Bowl. It's such a big deal, and we were talking about that. Talk a little bit more about the services that are important to you as sponsor concierge.
Oh, of course. Well, at Sponsor Concierge, we help people package themselves for success with their sponsors. So you've got to groom your business.
That's
for
a
sponsors.
Great term. I like that. Packaging.
Package for success, because you may have a great podcast, you may have a great business, you may have a great event, we even work with nonprofit charities, but it has to be groomed, it has to be packaged for success, yes, with sponsors. So that's
another,
what we help people do.
Another good word, Linda. Groomed.
Groomed.
That's another good one. Yes, yeah. It makes a lot of good sense. Again, there's a lot of fine tuning in this world, again, of whether the gigantic world of longevity and anti-aging, it's a wild west. We need good, solid information. One of my chief sponsors, Lower Extremity Review, evidence-based medicine, such a big topic. I've worked with them for years. By the way, I just had my article come out. It's about the new medicine. Mm-hmm. It's about the type 2 diabetes and LER.com. You can get access to that article. But the idea of all of these social services and packaging yourself, regardless of the size of the company, is talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, you always want to look bigger than you are. That's where your website is a great equalizer and the sponsor proposal is a great equalizer. And I could do a whole course on the sponsor proposal, but that's what you need to get sponsors. So that's with the sponsor proposal, you could look as big as the NFL. You could look as big as any major corporation. So that's what's really important.
The ABCs. The ABCs of having something together properly,
yes,
to present to a sponsor is a big deal with you.
Yes,
right?
We call it showing up correctly, right? And you want to show up correctly.
And you talked about, hey, don't underprice yourself constantly in so many different ways. It's sometimes so easy to do. And when they're talking about, again, the idea of trying to package what you do and who you are in a professional way, so that you can make a excellent presentation for a sponsorship. But, you know, the areas, the possibilities, that's an education in itself, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
Right?
And as far as pricing, my first sponsor deal was in the five figures. And I sold them on the concept. It was an event, and I hadn't even done the event yet. So
I made money. I got to raise the glass with that kind of success. And again, you know, the methods of the madness, the idea of a excellent presentation.
Thank you.
You know, follow up, all of these kinds of things in order to be able to present yourself in the best. Because it's not so many times that easy to understand who to contact, who in a particular organization, again, to contact, or what type of media they involved with, or again, is it print media also included in that regard? do some of these publications, LER Magazine becoming all digital. I remember Tony Robbins during the pandemic saying, I used to pack stadiums to 24,000 people. What am I going to do? All of a sudden, he said, I know. I'll do everything virtually. Now he has 150 countries with 4 million people tuning in. You know, the idea of telemedicine also is something that has become much more of a weapon in so many different ways, you know, because of technology. So you have to be constantly on top of the technology included and as it changes, right, Linda?
Yeah, but it's real old school when you're contacting your sponsors. Most of them like to be contacted by email. And if you could find them on social media, you could send them a direct message. But they actually do prefer email introductions.
It's interesting. In my part of the press that I serve with the National Publicity Summit, they were across the street from Madison Square Garden for decades before the pandemic. Now they do it virtually, where we would have all sorts of freelance writers and doctors and inventors and others. You might be speed dating and they become a guest. And many times, you know, trying to present themselves, they would call it a one page, right? A one pager, which was a presentation, including some photography in some way, shape or form, right?
Yeah, that's the media. In media, you have a one sheet, but we find in sponsorship, one sheet is not enough. We do a quick fax, which is usually a few pages to present that person. And if it's interesting, if it has good imagery, good messaging, sponsors will read it.
And again, the ability to know categories of sponsors that might be interested, or again, about or specific businesses or those kinds of ideas. I would imagine that that's got a lot to do with that individual entity and the connections they might have on who they might be looking to attract.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you mentioned Big Pharma, and we've helped
right.
clients get Novartis, the drug company, which is, you know, very, very huge in the pharma. So, that's really a big thing right now is pharma.
Oh, yes. I have sports pharmacists
mm-hmm.
have been guests of mine, a whole new area of sports-related, you know, in the world of supplements, again, nutrition. Very important information, you know, so again, and you don't have to mention for 2 minutes the pain pill scourge we've been under, the opioid scourge. All of these situations require good, solid awareness and education in so many different areas when you're dealing, again, with parents and their children and or the, you know, the sandwich generation. People have got not only their parents of concerns, but their children concerned, and they might be... Small business is still a big deal, right?
Small business is huge in the world of sponsorship. And what sponsors like about entrepreneurs and business owners is that they are talking to the decision maker. And, you know, as you know, as a small business owner, you want something, you got to reach in your wallet. You can't requisition money from your company. You are the company. So that's what sponsors like.
And the like an idea you just said, which is we try to get to the right entity.
Mm-hmm.
And know what the, you know, the HR department or the sports department or this department is sometimes an interesting a challenge. It certainly is in the world of youth sports and the idea, again, of the if we had to argue years ago about the inclusion of physical education in early education, we had to deal with they wanted to go, so many instances maybe cut out PE for kids. Not realize how important that particular time was, not only mentally, but physically in
mm-hmm.
both situations. So again, it's a interesting challenge. There's a lot of great information out there, but boy, this, now one of the biggest challenges is what are we going to do with all this misinformation, Linda?
All the misinformation?
Yeah.
wow.
Good luck to you.
That's a big question because there is so much out there, and that's unfortunately a societal change that I'm not happy with, that we see things and now we don't know what to believe. So the best way to establish credibility for yourself if you're seeking sponsors is your story. Storytelling absolutely sells. Don't send them a proposal generated by artificial intelligence. They're just going to put that through an app, and it's going to be trashed, and then you're going to be blocked.
Yeah. If you don't get arrested. Linda, give me the information so to contact you and your work.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Please go to sponsorconcierge.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's sponsor, S-P-O-N-S-O-R, and then concierge, which is a French word, concierge.com. So when you go to sponsorconcierge.com, that's where you get all the information you'll need. There's a contact page there if you want to contact me, do a free sponsor strategy session. And when we do a free sponsor strategy session together, it is magic because I show you how to find money in places you never even thought of. So just go to Sponsor
Linda
Concierge.
Hollander, the Sponsor Concierge. Linda, hold on for a quick second. We'll be back with the Sports Doctors In segment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add some Dr. Bob wisdom, and we have an email or two. Who knows? Next week, Susan Ibitz, neuroscience, that whole world of neuroscience, biohacking, in all different areas of society. Susan is in the middle of a lot of that neuroscience application to these things. Then Beth Capecci, I was a guest on her psychology doctors, yes, no podcast. So I got it right. And she'll be joining me again, the mental game. Following week, Holistic Therapies, international business man, Lawrence Elyard from Australia, will be joining us again. Holistic Therapies, been part of the Sports Doctor forever. And then Michael Falquist. He's the CEO of Think Energy, you know, clean energy, the solar farms, an exciting area in energy and being healthy. So we're going to look forward to talking with him. And I want to quick shout out at our friends, BBS Radio, That One Podcasting. Again, a great group of professionals in so many different areas have been part of our guest list. We're excited about that. I'm also, I trade radio shows when we can, when indicated. Again, the attention continues with the juvenile type 2 diabetes world. I just had an article published, a headline article in the LER magazine. You go to lermagazine.com. Their online presence features the battle against the juvenile type 2 diabetes. And the information that surprises a lot of people, it's almost an assumption that diabetes is overwhelming everywhere you look, so many different families. And the type 1 diabetics, which are from very, very early childhood, necessitate the insulin injections. Type 1 is a different world. Medical supervision, a mandatory. Type 2 was adult acquired. And in the past decade or two, with the explosion of teenagers being diabetic, pre-diabetic, obesity, et cetera, that I talk about all the time, wow, got to change the name, juvenile type 2 diabetes. And this is something that it's all hands on deck. Many different individuals in the world of podiatry, right smack in the middle, right smack in front of all of it. My colleague, Dr. Larry Rubin, LEAP Alliance, LEAP, lower extremity amputation prevention, great colleagues trying to prevent, add exercise, nutrition, lifestyle changes, got to be mandatory in so many different ways. We want to continue to pay big attention to that. You know, one of my guests last week, of course, the team got beat, Dr. Joe Maroon, with his multi-Ironman triathlete medals around his neck. And we were talking about, again, the banging of helmets routinely in football. It's like nobody says it. Shh, don't mention it. And we talked about, gotta be, again, it's fun, and but it many times, it's hundreds of times over the kid's career, young athlete's career, hundreds of times of slapping one helmet against the other, not smart. The more I learn about the world of concussions from all the experts we have on, and boy, we have so many of them, the Aviv Clinic, matter of fact, Dr. Maroon threw that group with them, in Israel, and the importance, again, of not everybody makes the team. In elementary school, everybody makes the team. Remember, everybody? By the time you're in junior high school, it's like one out of 20, maybe even less than that, let alone high school. And the idea of fitness, let alone in the world of social media, has become a very, very big challenge. We're all familiar with the obesity challenge. If anything, the pandemic was even worse, that dealt with obesity. So the idea that, wow, we've got to really pay big attention to including in all the school systems. I wrote an article in 2008. It was called "Let's Get Them Walking," and I should have used the sponsor concierge with that, because I wanted all school systems to include walking as part of the criteria, part of the everyday activity, whether it was indoors or outdoors. And somehow we never got it really, really done. And then in a couple of years I spent with Rick Osborne and his pull your own weight organization. It still is an idea today, again, which he claims that if you could do an unassisted pull-up, you can't be obese. So the world of nutrition, the world of exercise, routinely, the earlier the better, in order to maybe in a generation or two cut dramatically down. And when I talk to international guests in various countries, they're all dealing with the same challenges in this health and wellness challenge. And the new attention to biohacking, that's why I was excited to be thrown in the middle of a lot of these individuals in the world of biohacking, some going way, way back when the word wasn't used. Dr. Bob Goldman and all of his anti-aging medical scenarios in Las Vegas, thousands of doctors and specialists, everything involved in those particular areas. So the biohacking, lifestyle functional medicine, paying attention besides just symptoms, is a big part of the new medicine. Again, number one, eat smarter. Number two, keep moving. Number three, reduce stress. Thanks, everybody. See you next week, The Sports Doctor.